Season 3, Episode 11, Burning Love. It opens on Sipowicz and Simone going to the basement of an abandoned house to view a burnt body. And fan favorite, I mean, at least one of my favorites, Vince is there.
Yeah, Vince is cool.
Basically, Vince is just there to wait until the real detectives get there.
Vince, about as useless as Mike Roberts.
At least Mike Roberts did a couple of things. Vince just seems to be stupid, and that's it.
Real quick. So, I read our comments on our podcast page.
Uh-huh.
And there's this one guy who, like, put a lot in the comments about how he feels about the seasons.
Uh-huh.
And he made a comment where he's like, I would have to say that Mike Roberts is a better detective than Clark Sr.
Really?
Yeah, in one of the comments he, like, puts all this stuff where he talks about how, like, Diane Russell is hotter in this season, but then this person's hotter, and then all, he just gives, like, his own thoughts. But when he wrote that, I was kind of thinking, like, that's like saying Mike Pence is better than Donald Trump, you know what I mean? They're both shitty.
Yeah.
No need for both of them.
It's like describing different consistencies of shit.
Yeah.
Like, oh.
It's like saying, I had explosive diarrhea, or I just had diarrhea. It's the same thing, and it sucks, and you don't want it coming out of your ass, but it's what you get.
Anyway, on this episode, they see a burnt body in a chair. And they did a really shitty job because the whole backside of the body is not burnt. The side that's, like, on the chair. And they discover a tattoo to which Vince says, basically, that's going to be important in some way. And they're like, really? How, Vince? And he's like, oh, I don't know. Which they're like, it'll help us identify who it is faster.
Yeah.
And after the break, he has another great joke. But before then, I have to say, this is NYPD Blue Balls, where the Asher Brothers go through every episode of the best show ever, NYPD Blue. I'm Kirk. The other voice in New York is Kyle. And this is the theme song to NYPD Blue. Anyway, when we come back, Fancy gives Greg an overnight assignment. And that's the entire B story of this episode, is Greg gets the assignment to watch a guy named Good Times Gates.
Good News.
Good News Gates. Sorry.
His name's not Good Times, don't tell. We're not watching fucking whatever that show. We're not watching Good Times.
I was about to say, the name of the show was Good Times.
It's really funny, the theme song, when I was singing it in my head, I was like, Good Times. I just couldn't remember the name of the TV show.
Good Times Gates is played by famous face Tony Burton. Apollo Creed's trainer, Duke, from most of the Rocky movies. I think almost all of them. I think the only one he isn't in is Creed. Or wait, is he in Creed?
I think he's in Creed. I don't think he's in the fifth one.
Rocky V? Well, I mean, I could check it. It's not that important. He's Duke from Rocky.
There's also another famous face, a part of the gambling. There's two famous faces, a part of the gambling group, that aren't the guy from Rocky.
I know one of them is the dude that comes in about halfway through the game, Tiny Lister.
Yeah, he's from, like, Next Friday and everything.
He's also from The Fifth Element and The Dark Knight. And
yeah.
The Hulk Hogan classic, No Holds Barred.
Oh, yeah. Forgot about that. But there's also one more famous face.
Who is that? Because I don't have that one written down.
I don't know his name. He is one of the older black gentlemen who play poker. Mm-hmm. And he has on the Bill Cosby-esque sweater. He was the dad of the black family in City Slickers that goes on the cattle ranch thing with them.
We're pulling
up. I know for a fact he's the dad, because, like, I was sitting there looking at it, and I was like, holy shit, he's the dad who, like, takes his son, and he's like, this is the last thing me and my son are gonna do before he goes off somewhere. But he was the dad in City Slickers.
One of the other black characters at that poker game is Jairus Poindexter.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew I recognized his face, but I didn't know what from. He's in Con Air. I don't even remember what he was in Con Air, but he was in Con Air. He's also in The Color Purple.
Gee, it's hard to guess he was either a cop or a convict, so...
There's a lot more nuance to Con Air than you give it, my friend.
Okay, yeah, you got fucking John Cusack running around in sandals and socks, okay.
The character that you're talking about, the Black Father in City Slickers, I believe that was Bill Henderson.
Yes.
Because he's the only person that is connected with City Slickers.
Racist.
Anyway, the B story is Greg gets this detail to watch Good News Gates because a drug dealer named Woodrow put a hit out on him, so someone has to protect him.
Yes.
It's kind of like, this is kind of a weird episode because this is something that our buddy Blankenstuff, Chris, I believe his name is. I'm so sorry if I fucked that up. He mentions that there's only like 5 people from the detective squad that are even mentioned in this episode or talked to.
Yeah.
Like everyone else is kind of off to the side and no one really has a part to play. And Greg, he kind of is only in this episode to take this quick job and re-mention that he's having troubles with his wife.
Yeah. Fancy to bitch about it, and then Fancy has to be like, oh, I'm sorry to hear that.
Here's a
blah, blah, blah.
Here's a detail that allows you to basically get double time, and you don't have to go home or stay here in the house.
Yeah. Yep.
While he's there, he gets involved in a poker game where he's apparently with professional gamblers, but he ends up with like $415, or like $315.
Yes.
Meanwhile, while he's there, they offer him booze, I believe. Oh, yeah, I believe prostitutes. And then when the guy comes in about halfway through, Mr. Gates asks him, hey, did we take care of that thing we were going to take care of? And the guy said, yeah. And then Greg gets a call a couple hours later saying Woodrow died. He has been killed.
Yeah.
And Greg basically puts it together, but knows, like, he has no case because everybody's alibi is set.
While he's standing there, Greg brings up, like, so where you been? Like, where were you before you got here? And he's like, oh, I was down shooting pool. Well, he doesn't answer anything. Like, Good News answers for him. Good News is like, oh, he was down shooting pool. And then Greg was like, and I bet you did it with a bunch of friends around or something like that.
Mm-hmm. And he says, like,
yeah, always. And they move on real quick. Boom. You know.
Yeah, they said, I never shoot pool alone.
Yeah.
What was also weird, and I don't know if you would agree with this, that other cop, because he shows up to do the detail of just protection, and one cop leaves, a young black gentleman who is a detective, he leaves, so Medavoy could take over, and there's just another cop asleep on a couch?
Yeah, that was weird.
He was also asleep the entire time.
Yeah, and he was asleep when he got there, so that means he'd been sleeping for a really long time.
He had basically been sleeping all day.
He'd been up all night.
Maybe that's the case, but it was so weird because as he walks in, he's like, hi, I'm Detective blah blah blah. He's like, hot Medavoy. And he's like, okay, well, I'm going to be out of here. And by the way, that detective is Detective so-and-so. And he was just asleep, and then they don't even talk about him again until Medavoy's ready to leave, and then he wakes his ass up.
Yeah, I kind of forgot about him.
It was weird because I'm sitting there while he's playing poker, and it's been hours, and Medavoy's sitting there with a cigar and being offered prostitutes, and obviously being conned by all these dudes. There's just another dude asleep who's been asleep this whole time, and he never got up to be like, hey, what are you guys doing? What's going on here?
Yeah. Or, like, they were pretty loud, and they were, like, whooping it up and shit, and they never once, woke up and was like, why would one be so loud? You know what I mean? Like, it was just crazy.
Yeah. The A story is has to deal with this burnt corpse. When they get back to the house after looking at it initially, Vince comes out of the bathroom and gives a report on unicorns.
Yeah.
And what they are. Sipowicz had mentioned that there's a man looking for his missing daughter who matches the age, Mr. Garabedian, And Vince gives this whole story about the unicorn. He's like, well, I'm out of here, fellas, and bounces. And Sipowicz says, so should I talk to this father, or should we go with the mythological angle?
Yeah, that was really, really funny.
They check out this Mr. Garabedian, and it's a famous face, Dan Loria, who is the father from The Wonder Years.
Yep.
And he does a really good job this episode, because he kind of goes through an emotional roller coaster, and it works pretty well. Like, it's... You can feel his pain and, like, confusion a little bit. What kind of blows is the guy he's with on the street is a gentleman who's playing Johnny, like, Arcadi or something. I forgot his last name.
John Arcadi, yeah.
He's played by Sasha Jensen.
Yep.
I don't think he did that great of a job.
No, he was... Well, it was really funny you say that, because I'm looking over... like his, whatchamacallit.
His IMDb.
And he doesn't have a whole lot of acting gigs, and there's a reason why.
Also, under his name, it says acting. I think it says acting, producing, and art department.
He was in Dazed and Confused. That's where he's famous from.
But Dazed and...
Go ahead.
I was going to say, Dazed and Confused, I don't know much about the movie. I've only seen it once. But from what I hear, because that was like Matthew McConaughey's first, right?
So I don't know, man.
I think it was Matthew McConaughey's first, and the only reason he's in it is because someone who was at, doing the production met him at like a bowling alley or like at a drive-thru or something and said, hey, you want to be in this movie? And then he became a movie star. Like, it feels like the movie Dazed and Confused was really made like on a whim and by the seat of their pants. So that doesn't necessarily mean they got good actors to be in it, but it's just well-known.
I got you. But you have to be careful with Dazed and Confused, because it's a Richard Linklater movie.
Uh-huh.
And when you make fun of Richard Linklater, all the movie heads out there get all pissed off at you because you don't understand.
But you just don't understand. Linklater.
But it's funny, like when I sit down and watch a movie and I see that it's boring and I see that it's not that great. I can't have an opinion on that because some fucking random white guy I've never met wrote it. And he wrote the After series, After Sunset, After This, After He Makes a Good Movie, and then I'm supposed to give a shit.
Well, I know you're never supposed to plug other podcasts on your podcast, but there was a Harmontown where Dan Harmon did a rap about the new Blade Runner.
Yeah.
Where he called it boring and explained his point, and it was really fucking funny. And I think...
What are we talking about? The first Blade Runner is boring. Why didn't we think the second one was going to be boring, too? the first Blade Runner is, like, visually awesome to see, and, like the story is an interesting story, but, like, come on. It's, like, Harrison Ford mumbling the whole time. It's that other guy, Rutger Hauer, just, like, basically taking ecstasy and talking about whatever he wants to talk about. Like, I mean, it's not a great movie. Like, it's visually cool, but... I mean, I don't know. And, did you ever see Boyhood?
I did not see Boyhood.
Yeah, I started to watch it, and then I was like, garbage.
Speaking of garbage, we meet Johnny Arcadi because they talk to the father. They ask if he knows his daughter has a tattoo or not.
Well, the father's passing out flyers.
Because she's been missing for 3 days.
Yeah.
They then go to Johnny because he's also handing out leaflets, and he and his wife have been living with the missing woman. And so Johnny confirms that she did have a tattoo, which establishes that the father did not know certain things about his daughter. And they then confirm with Dental that she is the one that died. And while I was watching this, I was watching it with Papa Asher at the time, and I said, wow, it sucks to be this guy. He finds out his daughter has a tattoo, and she died?
Yeah.
He said, not only does he die sad, he dies angry as well.
Of course.
So, they are pushed by Johnny to look into this Russian dude named Dmitri.
Yeah, that was really weird.
And because Dmitri has a tattoo of her and her name and a unicorn on his arm, he says, oh, this Dmitri guy is hot-headed and wanted to have sex with her, but she wouldn't let him. and so he probably killed her. They talk to him once, and they get the implication that he was not involved, so they leave him alone, and Johnny and the father keep pushing it on the detectives.
Yeah, it seemed like he was just like, he really loved her, that was it. But she was giving him no time.
No time. Also, I looked up the IMDb of that guy because I've definitely seen his face before.
Uh-huh.
He just seems to be the Russian guy in random shows and movies.
Okay.
Pasha D. Lynchikov. And I guess he was in Deadwood. He was in at least one episode of Deadwood.
Oh, I think I know who he was. I think if it's who I think it is in Deadwood, he plays a pretty cool character. He plays weirdly plays a Russian.
No.
Who starts to work for like the guy who does all of the newspaper. Anyways, but yeah, he's a good actor. He does a good job in Deadwood.
They keep going at Johnny because his story is like inconsistent and weird.
Yeah.
And he seems like a talker, like he just keeps talking when Simone is trying to get info out of him. And Simone good cops him and keeps going like, no, we really appreciate your help. And, you know, it's pretty good that we found some fingerprints at the scene. And then one of his old running buddies, because he got busted for grand larceny and pimping, one of his old running buddies who he got arrested with ends up shot point blank to the head in the middle of the street somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
So they put two and two together. They start looking into him a little bit harder, and eventually it slowly unravels that this guy was the brains of a ransom that didn't work, and he uses every chance he can get to distance himself from his two buddies who he did this with.
Yeah.
The reason I'm kind of speeding through it is because I didn't think this actor was very good, so his interviews weren't that interesting to me.
Yeah, his mode of acting or interviewing was say one thing, let Zipwitz or Simone tell him what they have, and then him like freak out and be like, "Well, see, that's why you see," and he just like freaks out and like changes his story. He's like, "See, that's why I couldn't tell you because you guys are doing your job."
And I think the women. Because in the episode, they use his wife, and then they use one of his girlfriends, because apparently he has two, to get information about his connection to Alex, who was just murdered. And I think
shot in the street while holding his baby. That's crazy.
Yeah, that was pretty dark. And it was
gnarly.
And those women did a much better job in their, like, one scene than this dude did in all of them. And I also feel like if you look at Simone while he's acting across from this dude, I think Jimmy Smits let some of his own frustration at working with this guy kind of bleed into his frustration as the character of Simone. watching this guy like unravel and be stupid until he just gives away the whole plot and how he wasn't involved, even though clearly he was. The one scene that was actually really, really cool was at one point the father, Mr. Garabedian, brings his lawyer to represent Johnny because he thinks they're going the wrong way with this.
Yeah.
So Fancy basically intercepts him at the lobby, and Simone, Sipowicz, and Fancy go over the case at the desk pretending that they're talking about other business.
Yeah, and that's when Sipowicz calls Sylvia.
Yeah, and because Fancy goes,
it's like, "Don't hang up.
Don't hang up, and I may talk and I may not, but I have to look like I'm on the phone." And it was funny because even Blankenstuff, Chris, he mentions Fancy saying, "Why don't you just call the weather?" Which means he could have just picked up the phone and sat there and talked into that as if he wasn't talking to them, but he actually calls Sylvia, which is weird.
Yeah.
Also, no Sylvia this episode.
Yeah, it's just a mention of her on the phone, that's it.
With that, I mean, it just ends with that guy admitting what he did, like, without taking any responsibility. And
yeah.
Simone and Sipowicz have a conversation at the end while they're doing their paperwork that was kind of like a, "I can't believe this happened," and the guy said, and Simone says, he has no remorse. Like, he doesn't even consider people's feelings or thoughts on the subject. He just just trying to get out of it and trying to work on an angle.
It's a really weird episode because let's be real. I feel like from the beginning of the episode, you know who killed her.
Yeah, that guy. Yeah, I remember because I mean I've seen all the whole series once and a couple episodes numerous times, but the second I saw that guy on the street, I was like, oh yeah, this is the one where he did it. Yeah. Like it just kind of. It just feels like, oh, that's the murderer, that's the guy. Like, if you were watching Scooby-Doo and you're like, that's who we're going to see when they pull off the mask, it's going to be this dude. And it just, I don't know, it wasn't the best, but it wasn't the absolute worst. I'm trying to see if there were any notes. Oh, one thing that Blankenstuff, Chris Blankenstuff on Twitter, he brought up was, he mentions, like, it's insane how... Not negligent. It's insane how lazy and unengaged Vince is as a detective. And would Sipowicz have been that if he had not gotten his shit around or didn't have good partners like the original Caruso and Smiths? Like, would he have just been this character that just shows up and is collecting a paycheck until he can retire?
Yeah, Vince is weirdo, dude.
He also comes in at the end of the episode to say, see, I knew the unicorn tattoo would come into play.
Yeah.
And it was like, yeah, duh. Vince is kind of just he's the bumbling idiot of the crew. And when
100%.
And when he leaves, Sipowicz just says, he chose this career over neurosurgery.
Yeah. He's a weirdo. It's so weird how... I don't know.
I didn't come up with the title of this episode, because normally when I watch them, I'm like, oh, this is probably the better title. Maybe, why aren't you looking at the Russian? Or look at the Russian? Because they get told that repeatedly. But I don't know. I didn't think of anything just because it was, like, not as interesting an episode. Anyway, do you have anything else to say about it?
No, this episode wasn't that great.
Not the best.
I mean, it was cool to see the Wonder Years dad in it. And he like, did... I feel like there's some cool interrogation scenes where Sipowicz is trying to be like Sipowicz is funny and Sipowicz is actually like I feel like doing a good job interviewing like as an actor interviewing him and stuff. But like you said, there was nothing for him to play off of, you know.
Like the one interview with Dimitri. When they're going at him very aggressively.
Yeah.
And he's kind of just wide-eyed and just looking straight forward. And when Sipowicz says things like, how many drinks did you have? He's like, 2 vodkas. He's like, so you're more or less sober. and then they start talking to him and he gets more aggressive. Like, those Sipowicz lines are pretty solid. And when he has the scenes with the dad... And when he's on the phone and then says, there better be metal detectors at this guy's arraignment because that father's liable to shoot somebody. Like, Sipowicz and Simone are great, and then I just think because they focused on people that aren't really that great actors, it doesn't work as well. Like, if it was way more about the dad than that asshole character Johnny, then it probably would have been a better episode to watch. But hey... It's NYPD Blue.
Yeah, it's just that Johnny guy kills it. The way he acts, like, the whole time you just kind of feel like this is weird, you know? Like, I don't know.
And, like, with the setup where you think, like, oh, he's supposed to be a nice guy for helping out, and then you find out that he's cheating on his wife, and then you find out he beats those women, and then you find out he's a murderer. I was like, okay, they're going to get him in the room, they're just going to beat the shit out of him. Like, I thought there was going to be a scene where... Sipowicz was across from Johnny because we don't get a lot of Johnny and Sipowicz time, which usually means at the end of the episode we're going to get Sipowicz one-on-one with that guy and Sipowicz is going to like lay hands on him, but that doesn't happen. It's just Simone staring at him while he like talks, which is not an interesting way to wrap that up. So
that's weird.
Anyway, every episode of NYPD Blue Balls is available on iTunes, Stitcher, AsherBrothersPodcast.com, MixBagOfHats.com, and where you find a podcast. We are on Twitter at AsherBrosPod, Instagram AsherBrothersPodcast. Please rate and review our show on iTunes if you have the time. I will read your criticisms and then probably not do anything about the show. Thanks. Kyle, do you have any parting words for the people?
This episode sucks.
This episode sucks.
I mean, it doesn't suck. It's actually a kind of a cool idea. And, like, it's a cool story. I mean, murder is not cool, but it's an interesting storyline and, like, the way, and, like, how he, like, gets his friends to help because they're just trying to get money from this guy who's giving him free rent. Like, it's really, really interesting and cool, but that dude just kills it.
Yeah, it's just not the best people to populate that story. Have a good one. Be good to yourself. Be good to each other. And watch NYPD Blue. Thank you once again for listening to NYPD Blue Balls. You can always check us out on iTunes, Stitcher, wherever you find a podcast, AsherBrothersPodcast.com, MixBagOfHats.com. Thank you so much. Also, if you need more NYPD Blue in your life, don't go to Hulu because it's not on Hulu yet as of editing time, which is the day before the episode is released. You can always check out Gene Kendall's book, An Unofficial Guide to NYPD Blue, where he goes through every single season, digging in deep, looking into it, and enjoying the hell out of the best show ever, NYPD Blue. Thank you. Have a good one. Be good to yourself. Be good to each other. Like I say always, and watch more NYPD Blue.